The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike.
Me.
All right. Yeah, you're right.
Good. Yeah, I'm good.
Good.
Oh, can I tell you something?
Yeah, go on.
You know, I said to you about women in business, and I said I know who the speaker is.
Yeah.
I had an email from them. So it is, and I was right, Sarah Richardson, who's the former Lord Mayor of Westminster.
Oh, wow.
Who is now the Managing Director of Talk Purpose, which is a wider M&C Saatchi group.
Right, okay. Sweet. Well remembered.
Well, I didn't really, did I?
Well, no.
I remembered she was the Lord Mayor of Westminster.
No, but when I looked this morning, they didn't have any speakers.
Well,
so.
To be fair, it's not on their website. It's only because it came through as an email this afternoon when I came in and sat down.
Because you're a bird in business, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, that's why. And that's why I didn't get it and you did.
Well, you can still be a woman in business, can you?
Could I?
Well, you know. I'm sure you get their emails, fucking.
No, I don't, actually.
I wonder how legally they get away with that.
Oh, well.
It's just an interesting point.
Maybe because I didn't sign up for them.
That would be it, then.
Yeah, that would be it, wouldn't it?
Maybe if you wanted to, you could receive one. Carol Black, please send him an email. For goodness sake.
Do you know, the highlight of my year.
This year?
No, not this year, because I haven't been invited for the last couple of years. I must have disgraced myself. The highlight of my year used to be emceeing the Women in Business Awards.
Yeah, you haven't been asked for years, have you?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's because Hillary does it herself now.
Yeah, she does, yeah.
You know, she...
I still love doing that, though. It was brilliant.
Why?
Because it was just good. All right?
All right. You always go Londoner Cockney on me at certain points.
Do I?
Yeah. All right.
Well, you always go all pirate on me.
Do you know what? I've actually, because you've done that to me, I actually, because I've had to put it in my book, so I've now turned into a pirate.
Have you?
And you're in my book because of that, I tell you. Yeah. Saw myself as a pirate, a farmer more, but now a pirate is now my occupation.
Yeah.
What do you do? I'm a pirate.
Yeah. I tell you, it does make me laugh still. Disney had a sign. They got Pirate World in Disney, and they got a sign, and they said the pirate code: pirates are nice to everybody, and we never steal anything. I don't think they understand the concept of a pirate, really, do they? It doesn't work, really, does it?
Not really.
No. Yeah. Cool. What you got, Bird?
Oh, yes. Well, will you be joining us? Oh, no, I've done that one. My Kent Business School invites you to our Equality, Diversity and Inclusivity Business Series event. And that's Skills to Success. That is Skills to Success at the Dockyard Church in Chatham. And that's a historic dockyard on the 31st of October, and that's a Thursday. And it's from 5 till 7 in the afternoon. You can go on to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS. Have you ever had anybody tell you off for saying wibbly wobbly way?
No.
Excellent. It always makes me chuckle every time I do it.
Yeah, that's Kent Business School. Event. Mm. It's one of their free soundbite events. They do some brilliant events. They're all
Why is it at Chatham then? Because that's where...
They've got a campus at Chatham.
I know they have, because my daughter goes to it. That's so bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's really, really bad.
Yeah.
Oh, my... You know when you can see your words come out and you're trying to catch them?
And you're trying to stop them.
You're going, no! Very funny.
Yeah. Now, they alternate between Canterbury and Medway with their business soundbites events.
Apparently, Chatham's a really, really nice university there.
Yeah, it is. Yes,
so right. My daughter says.
Yeah. Cool. The UK's very first Dan Sacchi Afro-Caribbean restaurant is set to open in Elwick Place in Ashford, bringing an exciting new food and drink concept to the town. In a joint announcement today, Dan Sacchi, Ashford Borough Council and Stanhope PLC confirmed that the company has chosen Ashford, one of the fastest growing towns in the southeast, to unveil its exciting new restaurant brand. Dan Sacchi aims to serve an exquisite range of Afro-Caribbean and continental cuisine, creating a destination restaurant offering a fine dining experience in a cozy and welcoming atmosphere. Decor will feature bright African colours and amazing tribal patterns and artwork on the walls. So do check that out when it opens.
Nice. Are you aged between 45 or over?
Yep.
Are you looking for work? training or support.
Yep.
Join us at a free Kickstart event, Maidstone Job Centre, in association with Go Train. And that's on the 23rd of October, which is tomorrow. Mm. And that's 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. And that's Go Train. That's at Sussex House and that's in Maidstone. But of course you'll be listening to my show.
It's in Lower Stone Street. They could have your show on while you're there.
Go on, Go Train. Have my show on. I tell you, you're going to learn so much tomorrow.
Yeah. Right, get along to it.
What, my show or?
Well, both. You can do both.
You can do both. You're absolutely right.
Because you could listen to your show on a catch-up anyway.
You can.
Mm. You can.
I'd rather people did. Sorry. Because there's an interesting concept. Oh, we don't need to go into this. There's an interesting concept about podcasting.
Yeah.
So we need to get the numbers up on podcasting to really start to commoditize your business on podcasting. Sure. And the magic number, here's the thing, the magic number is 10,000 listeners. But guess, a week.
Yeah.
A week.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard that is to get a week? Mm. Now, we get that in a show because obviously we're global.
Yeah.
But we can't prove those numbers.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's all about the numbers.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't get me started, because I was looking into how to become a New York bestseller. It's crazy. It's all made up.
Yep. Stories normally are.
It's not on sales. Go figure. What? Yeah, you heard.
It's not on sales.
You're surprised, aren't
you? Yeah, yeah.
It's not on sales.
What is it on?
Well.
You're not telling me, are you?
Well, I can tell you, but we don't want to waste time, do we? Because it'll just get me going.
As opposed to the last hour of the show where we just wasted time
anyway,
talking about
this. Did you know FreeWorks Community Workspace is expanding?
Is it?
We have easy access, no long-term commitment, hot desk, fixed desks and small private office available with
Anaglypta.
In an expanded FreeWorks in Canterbury. You need to go on to hellofreeworks.co and get the details from their website.
That's an email address.
I know it is.
Yeah. Email them and they'll tell you.
Yes.
What's free?
Freeworks.co.
Yeah.
It does my head in every time I say it.
It does everybody. Everybody says, you left off the UK or the com. No, it's just .co.
Yeah.
Can't do a lot about that. Welcome to Grapevine Network. An exciting new dedicated property networking event being held once a month from October. So the first one was last week and they had a massive turnout. The networking group is designed to attract property-related companies with the capacity for new business and is set to grow in other locations. We'd like each guest, where possible, to bring one other property-related guest with them to the meeting to be sure to bring along lots of marketing material. It's organised by Beth Rossiter, and the next one is taking place on the 21st of November, 5:30 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. at the Marine Hotel, Marine Parade, Whitstable. To book your place, eventbrite.co.uk/Whitstable Grapevine Networking Group. Check it out. If you're in property, interior design, furniture, anaglypta, or any of those things.
Artexing.
Artexing. Here, are you an artexer?
Yeah.
It's going to be retro eventually, isn't it?
Can I just say, are there any artexers left?
Yeah. No, but there will be because
it'll
come back because everything comes back eventually.
Yeah. Would you have artexing on your walls now, though?
No,
on your ceiling?
It's evil stuff.
What about coving?
Coving's fine because you can take coving down.
Is it though?
Yeah.
No, you're embarrassing me because I've got heartaches and I've got COVID.
No, you haven't, Cheryl.
I've got both.
Cheryl, if you've got polystyrene tiles, we've absolutely smacked it and we're back in the
70s. We have to have words, Cheryl. If you've got if you've got tiles, we need to have words.
I've got some anaglypta you might be interested in as well.
No, thank you. I draw the line at anaglypta.
Or wood chip wallpaper.
He's got some in the back of his van downstairs.
Yeah. I took some coving down and it had 27 pence on it.
No, it didn't. With pencil?
From 1973.
Yeah. Coving's okay because you can remove it. Yeah. Artex is murder. Yeah. Once you've got Artex, there's very little you can do to it.
I still am always shocked about what we talk on this show.
It's leading edge stuff, isn't it?
Well, here you go. You might be able to apply for this. Apply for the Ashford Business Awards.
Me?
Yeah, because we've got a business.
I'm not allowed, am I?
Why?
Because I present it.
What's
I'm the
wrong
MC.
With that? What's
well,
wrong with that?
Well, and the winner is. Oh, it's me.
I don't see anything wrong with that at all. Are you in Ashford, Folkestone, Deal, Dover, Hythe, or Romney Marsh? apply for the Ashford Business Awards. It's free to apply with a quick and easy form. The awards are a dinner and presentations by MC, Mr. Andrews, and are on Wednesday, the 20th of November at Ashford International Hotel. What are you wearing?
DJ.
Do you ever do, like, different colours?
Different colour what?
DJs.
No. Excellent. I thought you meant, like, underwear or socks or something.
Woo.
No. I quite often wear different coloured socks.
Good to know. Anyway, www.businessawardskent.co.uk.
I do have a slightly different coloured dinner jacket. I have a turquoise velvet one. Trouble is, it was nice. People used to like stroking it. But the trouble is, don't look at me like that. The trouble is that it doesn't fit. It shrunk or something.
I've got no words. Carry on.
Yeah. Do you want to join the team at Bedderdon Hospital?
I'm not registered anymore.
Are you not?
No.
Can't you get re-registered?
You have to go back on a back to nursing course for 2 years.
2 years?
And it's oversubscribed, go figure.
Really?
Seriously.
Yeah.
So sad, isn't it? Anyway, carry on.
So you don't want to get re-licensed as a nurse?
No, I want to be Barbara Cartland.
Oh, of course you do. Unless they do chiffon nurses.
That's just getting people silly now, isn't it?
Could you imagine her in A&E, in chiffon?
I was a sister in A&E.
Yeah. They'd clear the waiting room in record time, wouldn't they? They go, this is your triage nurse.
Yeah. I've saved lives, I'll have, you know. Oh, yeah, You're mocking me.
Anyway, if you're not Bird... And you could join the Benenden Hospital team. I love working at Benenden Hospital. It's a beautiful location in the countryside. The whole organisation is supportive. It's the team. The team are amazing. Benenden's a bit like family, and more testimonials. And they're just some of the reasons why more than 400 people work at Benenden Hospital, which has a long history of caring since it was founded in 1907. Benenden offers a number of full-time, part-time and flexible job opportunities ranging from patient advisors, receptionists, administration, radiographers, nursing, catering and housekeeping. The hospital also has a bank of experienced and trained staff to call upon when needed. Bank working allows employees to choose when to work around their childcare, second jobs, holidays and flexibility. Staff benefits include 27 days annual leave, rising with length of service, performance-related pay, competitive salaries, a defined contribution pension scheme, excellent life assurance benefits and a subsidised restaurant. Potential future employees can find out more about the many and varied roles at Benenden Hospital at our careers evening on Tuesday, October the 29th. That's next Tuesday, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. There's loads of staff benefits. It's got a Quality Care Commission outstanding rating. Get along if you're interested in working at Benenden to benendenhospital.org.uk/careers. And their careers open evening is next Tuesday.
Stand out and scale up. Grow Conference Ashford. Wouldn't it be easier if you could generate predictable, reliable income in less time and with less stress? Are you always learning, always improving person? One of the best ways is attending a conference because you know you're going to meet businesses just like you, businesses that know how important it is to break out of old ways of thinking. Who want to meet other business leaders like you who love to get great results, businesses like you to network and collaborate with. And the expertise and knowledge of our five speakers will give you the inspiration to take action. So I'm going to go and have a look who they've got on. Do you know who Grow Kent have got on? Speaker-wise, at a Grow conference?
I don't know who to speak.
Is it you?
I'm emceeing it, yeah.
Okay, I'll have a look. So this is on Wednesday the 20th of November. Put your teeth away. And this is 8:30 to 1 in the afternoon. We went this years ago, do you remember? Yeah. Ashford, I know you go every year, but do you remember I was doing all their social lives?
Yeah.
Ashford International Hotel. Yeah, their price is really good, £47 plus VAT. And this includes refreshments and a conference guide. And you need to go to
www.worldwideweb.
And that's growkent.co.uk. And I'll let you know who the speakers are. Carry on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a long old day for me, though.
Yeah, you do the awards
as well,
don't
you? Because I do the Ashford Awards in the evening, so I have to change clothes about three times.
And you do the breakfast thing in the morning.
I do the breakfast thing, I do the Grow Kent Conference and the awards all in one 19-hour shift and three changes of clothes, which is why I have different coloured underwear and socks.
Good to know, thank you.
So I don't put the same pair on twice.
It's that time of year, talking about socks.
Yeah.
Will we start to get socks for Christmas?
You're not. I was going to say, you're getting me socks again, aren't you?
And there's a great company. I love them. They're called the London Sock Company. Go check them out. They are brilliant for nice. You're all looking at me like I'm an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're a really lovely company. Go and check them out. They've got a great business model.
What it was meant.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to know who the speakers are?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, you've got Joe Wimble-Groves.
Right.
You've got Emma Lydiard. You've got Belinda Collins. You've got James Osborne. You've got Zoe Kent. And you've got Mr. Andrew Priestley, who I had on my show a couple of weeks ago, who is doing a 12-month journey with me through women's wealth. Carry on. I tell you what, my show, my finger's on the button on everything.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm still staggered.
Shocked.
I'm in shock.
With what?
A journey through what? Women's wealth.
Women's wealth, yeah, because my book has brought up four areas.
In a rummage through their purse.
So my book's brought up four areas.
I used to
areas.
Do that to my mum when I was at school until she caught me. I used to buy fags. What?
Well, this is what I'm doing in my book. I've addressed four areas, and finance is one of the biggest things that women find disempowering.
Yep.
So I'm bringing it up, and we're putting it on a show every one a month. And Andrew Priestley is the person doing it with me.
I want to talk to these two ladies, but I'm interested in what you just said as well about finance being an issue. Because one of the other things that I've got to be in my bonnet about is that we don't teach basic finance to kids in school.
Oh, my gosh. Let's go to these two.
Yeah.
Because that would be useful.
Yeah.
Because they're guests.
So they can get a word in edgewise.
I know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because we're just going to jam
otherwise
on
otherwise
here,
we're going to go on, aren't we?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, and we'll go. And you won't believe what we were talking about on the first one. Carry
okay.
on.
But anyway, let's talk to two interesting guests rather than
us?
Listen to the bird
nonsense.
Waffle on. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Eileen Bishop and Cheryl Giles from the Department of Work and Pensions. Ladies, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't DWP is a big department. It does lots of different things, and I'm sure you do most of it.
Of course.
Of course you do.
Of course.
But why don't you kick off by telling us what your roles are within DWP?
Well, Paul, my role is around the Disability Confidence Scheme, and it's relating back to really what Mark spoke about earlier, where he was talking about supporting those with disabilities and health conditions into work, engaging employers. For DWP, we made a conscious effort back in November 2016, and we launched the Disability Confidence Scheme. That scheme was a way of recognising employers who go that extra mile to recruit people with health conditions and disabilities. It actually took over from the two tick symbol. I'm not sure if anyone can remember the two tick symbol. It was around for quite a while. One of the reasons that DWP have looked at disability competent and engaging employers for those with health conditions is that we recognise there's a huge employment gap rate between those, we'll say, normal people who are getting employed and those who have a health condition that may struggle to get into employment. Mm. And actually, this morning, I had a quick look at Kent, for example. So the employment rate for Kent is 77% as of today, but the disability employment rate is 59.8. So you can see there's a gap there. And, and nationally, it's reflected nationally, there's quite a gap. So the government made a decision or kind of made a kind of an aspiration to get 1 million more disabled people into work by 2027. So that's a national aspiration. On the back of that, we launched the Disability Confidence Scheme. And there's kind of two parts to the scheme, really. One part is around engaging employers to look at that wider talent pool of talent, which you talked about earlier, but all equally to look at their own employees. So many people in work get a health condition. The latest statistics are around 83%. So 83% of people get their health condition disability while they're in work. So that's quite astonishing, really.
Mm.
And so the Disability Competence Scheme looks as well at retention, helping those who have a condition to stay in work.
Yep.
And my colleague Cheryl will talk a little bit more about what the DWP can support employers with along that line. On the Disability Competence Scheme itself, where the government is looking to sign up 20,000 employers to Disability Competent by the end of March 2020. We're currently at 13,600, I think, around that figure. For Kent, there's 270 employers have signed up for Kent. And what does it mean, I suppose, to have signed up? Well, there are three levels. The first level is called the committed level, and realistically that's around an employer recognising that they need to use different methods of promoting their vacancies to make them more accessible. Also around looking to do one of the following. So an apprenticeship, a work experience, a work trial, shadowing, a school shadowing, an internship for somebody with a health condition. So they can look at all those options and they need to pick one. So it's around making sure their vacancies are accessible and equally around looking at what they can tangibly do to support somebody with a health condition to get nearer work. It may not be paid employment. It might be just a work experience or a school work experience, for example. And I know we talked a little bit earlier about the support for young people in school, and the DWP have had school advisors across the country for the last 3 years. That particular contract was due to end in March, and their focus up to now has been post-16, talking to them about, you know, what a CV looks like, et cetera, et cetera. But going forward from next year, April, they'll be specifically focused on schools with special needs, so those SEND schools. Some of the things we talked about a little bit earlier. So the first stage is committed. The second stage is called employer. And to become a disability competent employer, you need to have done the same things as level one, the committed, but also there's a self-assessment. So you have to kind of self-assess yourself against a number of areas to show that you can, you know, you're actually becoming, you're committed to being a disability competent employer, but equally you're doing that extra step of self-assessment. And then the final one is actually becoming a disability competent leader. And the leader actually is more like a champion or an advocate for disabilities and health conditions, and will be promoting disability confidence through all its supply chains and all its contacts. And equally, they will do a self. They need to do an assessment, but an outside organisation will come in and do that.
Okay.
And this is where Mark and the education people come in for Kent, because the education people can help those employers when they get to level two to migrate to level three. And they will support them with all the steps.
Sure. So. It's good, isn't it? Because without being too too controversial, you guys are working more and more together now, aren't you? Which in the past didn't always happen.
Yeah.
But now there's a much more coordinated local approach to these things, which is kind of really what we need. Bird's left. She's had a coughing attack. You know, I'm a great believer in localism, and I think localism is the way forward. You know, it's about being human and talking to the people that you talk to and building relationships.
But I think that's where my role comes in, because my role is Disability Employment Advisor Leader via the grand title. But what that means is actually engaging locally with GP surgeries, and actually, so we're able to support our customers locally on their health journey. By working with GPs, we can actually see what. Look at the positive things people can do, and then focus on those rather than the negatives. And that's also with anybody with health conditions or disabilities. It's like Eileen said, that there's people that are in employment, and then for one reason or another, if they had a car accident, whatever, the circumstances change, they can no longer do the job that they were doing for years and years. So retention becomes a problem, and that's a cost that employers have to pick up. So we can actually, in the job centre, we can actually do interventions with the employee and the employer to actually find out what adjustments can be put in place. So to make sure that the employer is still happy and the employee is still able to work.
Absolutely. It's all of this is so important, isn't it? From a societal point of view, it's kind of self-reinforcing, because the more people we get into work, the more tax they pay, the less they cost society to look after them. So the whole thing is a positive thing. And it's amazing that we can't get more people into the cycle. And part of your role, of course, Cheryl, is coming up to employers and bullying them into signing things.
No. Did I do that to you, Paul? No, I never bully. I merely persuade.
She went, sign that.
Or else.
Yeah, or else.
I said, I'll mention it on the radio station. It's okay.
No, it's absolutely true, isn't it? And it's kind of a little bit dispiriting that you have to even kind of point it out, that how all of this works, but you do because, you know, people don't think about it enough until you raise it with them.
This is true, and
that's really where we are with this. Yeah. He's trying to raise awareness of how this benefits everybody, basically.
If I told you that last year, in 2018-19, 129 million was paid out by Access to Work. Now, you'll probably say to me, what is Access to Work?
Yeah.
And that scares me even more because employers are able to tab into this benefit, this grant that employees can use to keep them, whether you're looking for work. Mm. So let's say you were profoundly deaf and you wanted to go for an interview.
Yep.
You needed a British Sign Language interpreter.
Yep.
Access to Work can pay for that for them.
Right.
So that's taking you into the interview. Then if to get the job, you can actually have adaptations put in place that is above what the employer would normally put in. So Access to Work, the employee will actually apply for that grant. So they can actually do that and keep them. The reason they do this is so that the person with health conditions or disability is not at a disadvantage.
Absolutely.
And they're able to progress.
Well, you know, I'm the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, and we have this issue all the time. When you're trying to find work experience for people, you go along to employers and they go, oh, we'd love to do it, Paul, but if the fire alarms went off, they'd never hear. And we go, do you know what? We've never thought of that.
Can I give you an example of Access to Work? You probably end up having to turn me off after a little while because I keep talking. But giving you an example of Access to Work, there was a gentleman, he could hear fine, but he had an accident, so he became profoundly deaf. He was actually milking. He used to his farmer, milking cows, etc., and there used to be a buzzer that sounded. So when he became profoundly deaf, he could no longer hear the buzzer. So what Access to Work did was put a light in, so when the light came on, he knew that the milk, the churn was ready or whatever. So it's just these simple things. And I know Mark has got another.
I've got two quick ones. But I supported a lady years ago who's a wheelchair user. But she worked in a school. But she didn't have an accessible toilet that was big enough for the chair, etc. So Access to Work paid actually more than we expected because they put a wet room in.
Right.
They also put electric sliding doors on the front of the school and had a separate fire escape that was wide enough. Came to over £20,000, was the... But the funniest one that I've ever done was a blind guy who worked a guillotine. And guillotine, it was the biggest wake-up call of my life. I never judged anybody about what people's capabilities were after this. Because actually, when I first met the guy, I went up behind and said, I'm looking for Joe Boggs. And he just turned around and said, mate, I haven't seen anybody for 35 years. And I was thinking, God, he was chopping away. And he had all his fingers. But I asked him what he needed, what would make his job easier. And he turned around and said, a talking tape measure.
Right, okay.
Which cost £12.
Right.
Because the only thing that he had to ever do was measure the job first thing in the morning. Mm. He had to get somebody else to do that. But nobody had ever asked him. I know we asked him, and it cost £12, and he never had to ask anybody.
It's crazy, isn't it? And we live in a world now which is highly regulated by technology. So a lot of these things are really easily solvable, you know, with vibrating watches and, you know, apps that do this, that and the other. There's very few things that you can't solve quite simply and easily at very little cost, to be honest.
If there's somebody who has dyslexia, there's software now that you can actually put onto the computers, enables that person to feel more comfortable and confident actually doing their role. So there's so many adaptations out there now.
Yeah. Or you can use Microsoft Spell Checker, which actually causes dyslexia.
Yeah, that is true.
No, absolutely. So the Disability Confidence Scheme is something that DWP are pushing heavily. It's open to anybody, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. Open to every employer. As I say, there is the three levels, and there's support to get from level one to level two from the local job centre. We have employer advisors in every office. They're quite knowledgeable on this area of work. And then from level two to level three, the education people are here. They're happy to support any employer to get to that level.
Yeah, I mean, that's the lovely thing about what we do, is that the way that we work with employers, just by changing recruitment process, all those types of things, training, confidence, most of the employers that we engage with are probably could get level two really quickly. And level three, I mean, we're working currently just about to do some work with Kent Police because they want to be a leader. They want to lead the way, you know, and change the way they recruit, which is amazing because Kent Police is a huge employer with an array of jobs for everybody, really.
What's the time span? So how long does it take to go from level one to level two? How do we access it? Do we have to come to you? Do you come to us? What happens?
Well, it's accessible online to www.gov.uk Disability Confident. Each stage, if you're level one, you will be level. You can be level one for up to 3 years, and then move on to level two, which means you'll be level. You can be level two for up to 3 years. But actually, you can fast track pretty quickly. Mm. A lot of employers are already doing some of the things that are there already. Yep. They're already doing it. They're already doing their retention. They're already, you know, they're with their own employees. So there is scope there to move very quickly up to the levels. I would say level three is a little bit more difficult, that assessment of your business. There's quite a lot to that, and that's why, you know, the education people are here to offer support for that. But people or employers can move literally really quickly, within a year, if needed. But as I say, usually people will just look at what they're doing already and then move along.
So it's an online course?
No, it's not even a course. It's just you go online and it asks you questions and you sign up.
It's like an assessment tool, I guess.
So it's like a tick box.
Yeah. But what absolutely. You can always do is if an employer is unsure, if they want more advice, they can contact the job centres. We'll give all the details to Paul to tweet out. And we have disability employment advisors. We have employment advisors. We can come out. We can talk them through the process. And, of course, we have Mark, the education people that support us.
Use and abuse me.
We do.
And equally, the disability employment advisors, as Cheryl mentioned a little bit earlier, there's one or two of those in each offices, and they're there to help retention. So employers can go to an employer advisor or myself for disability confident. But if they need help with retention, then it's us, and obviously the education people are there as well.
Absolutely. It's a shame, and it isn't for want of trying, so I'm not having a go at anybody, but so many of these things, people don't know about them.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, you spend an awful lot of time and energy telling people, but they still don't know about it. And I suspect that's because most people are busy doing other things and just don't pay attention until they need it. And then when they need it, they go, oh, don't know where to go. So, you know, people like us here on the Bunker Show and the radio, one of the things we try to do is to get those resources so that when people do need them, they can come back and find out where they are. So we'll put all the contacts on the radio show.
Thank you.
And we'll blog out about it. But even with that, you still get loads of people going, oh, I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do about this.
But if you're any day, just contact your local job centre because we'll be able to come out and actually do presentations, talk you through the process.
Yeah.
So no problem at all.
Yeah.
Mark, you do the disability confident presentation yourself.
We do a 2-hour training session, basically. And part of that training session does really highlight the disability confident because even just us being there and doing that is fulfilling part of that criteria.
Yeah.
But again, we're there to support the employer really through that process and sign up as many employers. As more employers we can get to, the more educated employers are at the end of the day and the more confident they are about employing somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're actually going to be looking at some roadshows in the next 12 months, maybe every quarter around the county.
So our main plea to employers is that when we start advertising these events, these disability confidence events, job fairs, we want employers to be contacting us and actually saying, well, we want to come along.
We want to be there. Yeah.
And our main ask today is for everybody listening to this show, any employer listening to the show, we want you to sign up to Disability Confident. So that's our ask of you all.
And that's fantastic. What I'd ask you is once you've got your roadshows planned, you know, your dates and locations, you let me know and we'll tell people and I'm happy to go round people and drag them up there.
We'll come up with a jingle for you, Paul.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, because it's important and, you know, it is all about information. It's about knowing when to turn. And like you say, a lot of these things can be out of the blue. Yeah. An employee suffers an illness or an injury and you go from a position of not needing it to needing it suddenly and you don't know where to turn. And that's the crucial thing, isn't it?
The other thing is that so many employees already, I think, Eileen, you have the percentage of people suffering with mental health and they're actually employed. And
1 in 4, I think, Cheryl, in any given year of us as people will suffer from mental health.
So
it's a huge number, isn't it?
It is a huge number. And access to work, if this is affecting your work, access to work will actually send a mental health supporter in, a worker in to actually help.
Right.
So it's important because that, for that well-being, if that person goes off sick, that has a knock-on effect. So obviously they need that help then.
Mm. Absolutely, yeah.
And interesting enough, if you look at some of the reasons for people are on benefit for health conditions in Kent, the top one is learning difficulties, the next one is mental health, and the third one is musculoskeletal. So mental health is way up there, anxiety, depression, all those type of
deaths. So stress and depression are endemic in our society at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've had a tweet, I don't know if you've got a view on this, it's from Diamond Circle Weddings, and they say, hi, Vanilla Ware, Bernard Bite and Business Mug Show. As a new business, we're not yet in a position to be offering full-time employment, although that may change in the next 6 months. When should we start looking for people to join our team?
I would say there's immediately, because in that, as you're growing business, you have the opportunity to give somebody some experience, even if it's just valuable work experience. Most of our clients that we deal with in disability may not have ever had the opportunity to actually get into the real workplace and do, you know, and try something real.
Yeah.
And that's where businesses are invaluable, because even just giving somebody a work experience, I mean, Our clientele basically go into work. If they do a work experience, we're usually able to place everybody into paid employment within 12 weeks of finishing their work experience. They wouldn't have that. They wouldn't have that experience. They wouldn't have those things to talk about when they do, you know, speak to employers.
It's a two-way street as well, isn't it? You know, because for your clients, it's giving them some feel for what the real world of work is like. And for an employer's, it's going, oh, actually, this isn't bad. These people know what they're doing. They could be good employees.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, it's one of those self-fulfilling things, isn't it?
And the thing being is that even though you may not be ready to recruit now, by working with Mark can actually get the process, talk you through actually employing and how to different ways of actually recruiting people, and not just a standard, like we said, sitting across a desk from somebody.
Yeah, we're very good at helping employers to do working interviews, because you can ask the same questions, you know, in an interview, but just do it in a slightly different way.
Absolutely.
Do people have to have premises? So do the employers the employer has to have a premises, especially in this virtual way now?
No, it varies. I mean, we've got people that want everything from, you know, doing something on their own.
Yeah,
they may not want to be in it.
Yeah.
Or you know, so there's something for everybody out there. So there isn't an employer or a business that's off limits, really. It's as simple as that.
And the other thing is, in Department of Work and Pensions, we actually have interview rooms that employers can use.
Yeah.
So if they, again, contact their local job centre, they can actually utilise those rooms. And, of course, it's free. So why wouldn't you?
Mm. Absolutely. Ladies, thank you so much for that. Arlene, could you give me a shout-out again for the website for Disability Confident?
Yeah, it's www.gov.disabilityconfident.
Fantastic. We'll put that link onto the website as well. Do find out about it. Join up, sign up for it.
Please.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'll send Cheryl round and you don't want that.
You definitely don't want me round.
No, do sign up for it, please. Do find out more about it. When you've got your roadshow organised, let us know, and we will certainly publicise that amongst our business audience. And we will come along as well, obviously.
Definitely.
For the moment, ladies, thank you so much for that. A really fascinating insight into the world of work and employment, and employing people that have supported needs and different needs and different abilities and talents that we're overlooking, and we really can't afford to overlook them any longer. So do please do something about that.
You both share a real... It's really interesting to feel your passion. So for me, at the other end of it, as a parent to a child with autistic needs, why, and I say this with the greatest respect, why do you care so much? Where's this passion come from?
Because I think everybody has a right to work if they want to, if they're able to. Who are we to judge and put people in a box and say, no, just because you're different, that you can't do something? It's about giving people that opportunity to step up and find what they want, what they're capable of. Because we just don't do that enough.
Yeah, and I think it's about equal chances as well. Why should somebody have a life of work and have the the benefits of a life of work against somebody who hasn't been given that opportunity. It's huge, isn't it, when you think about it, what that impact
But you can feel your passion today sitting next to you. So it's like, okay, so I always love that. I always love to know why somebody cares so much about what they're doing, you know?
But on the employer side of things, Purple Pound is coming up in November. So any business should be actually tabbing into this.
Yeah, there's £249 billion of expendable cash from people with disabilities in this country.
How much?
£249 billion.
Oh, sure.
That's what it's worth to the British economy,
right?
The spending power of people with disabilities in this country.
Just while we were talking about it, while we were off air, you mentioned a figure as well that NHS had saved using your services.
Yeah, the NHS emailed us recently because we've been working with them to employ more people with learning disability. And over the last year that we've been working with them, they've saved about £150,000.
This is a local trust, yeah?
This is the, yes, it is this local trust across Kent. Purely because the job match has been right to the skills that they've been asking us for. They haven't had such a high turnover of staff because the individual we've put in love the job that they do. They love being part of that NHS. So it's been just a great success story. I think we've had about 16 people go into part-time and full-time employment with them, paid employment. And going back to what Bird said about why do we do this job, to see somebody that goes into employment, particularly with disability, and you know they become independent or more independent and actually earn their own money, is just amazing. You can't really quantify that, the difference it makes to that individual. And to see that over and over again, that's why I think we do that, because it's a huge difference it makes.
For me, you've given me a gift, because the gift is that you've employed my son, who is able to now go and live in the world as a, and I'm going to use this very political and emotional phrase, as a normal human being, and he's able to go and look at a flat this afternoon because he's employed. So you have given him a home, not having to live under my roof, but to actually have a life on his own. And that's the difference it makes. So for me, I am so grateful because he's now able to live in the community.
And now if you could do that for every 30-year-old that's living at home with their parents, that would be just wonderful.
I've
Thank
got
you very
four
much.
More. It's true, though, isn't it?
It is. Do you know, it's as I said earlier, that there is no downside to any of this. There is no downside whatsoever. It's a positive reinforcing circle. People with supported needs get on far better in life if they have a job and their own income. Society improves because, one, we have more money to spend on people that do need society's help, yet we have more money coming in from tax, because once we get them a job, we can take the money off them. Yay!
This is what I'm saying. It is a community-based thing. Yeah. It isn't just, I've got a, you know, I want to give a job. As an employer, I want my business to employ somebody.
Yeah.
Because then I make more money, they make more money, and so we keep giving and giving.
But the other thing is with an employer, if you're employing somebody with a health condition or disability, what better insight can you get on how to actually advertise?
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, there's all kinds of benefits, and I can't actually see a drawback anywhere down the line, anywhere there at all. It's just a question of understanding it and doing something with it and overcoming the fear. I mean, all of this, like so many things, is just a fear. Is, you know, we hear so many scare talk stories that just aren't true, unfortunately, you know, where employers say, you know, well, once you've hired someone, you can't get rid of them no matter what they do to you, yada, yada, yada. It's all nonsense. It's perfectly understandable ways of dealing with most situations that you face, and there's help out there to do that. And, you know, overcoming that fear by seeing that there's a whole support network there to help you. I mean, Mark, it's one of the big things that you talk to employers about, isn't it? Overcoming their worries about
just,
how to deal with
this. Yeah, just take those barriers down.
Yeah.
You can only do that through having a really meaningful relationship with employer, built on trust, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what we do, so we're there, so use us.
Yeah, absolutely. So do that. Do sign up for Disability Confidence. Do use Kent Supported Employment. Do talk to your job centre. If you need some help with employment, talk to your job centre. That's what they're there
for. I never thought about speaking to you before.
Yeah.
It's obvious, isn't it? I'm sat here going, oh, my God, what, when I've wanted to employ somebody, why haven't I spoken to you?
But that's the thing, the job centre, well, you know, we don't charge for getting, we have candidates.
I'm coming in, Cheryl, I'm coming in.
Fantastic, Bird. I will see you there.
Cool. We're almost at the end of the show. We've got a few things that we need to cover and talk about as well. I've still got a few emails. There's Marsh Networking Over Coffee happening on the 6th of November at the Cinkport Arms in New Romney. That's in the High Street. And that's from 10 until 12. And you can find out about that by going to www.
World Wide Web. I don't ever say wibbly wobbly way. That's yours. I always say World Wide Web. What have I done wrong now?
Nothing.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Oh, no, I was just...
Was I late in delivery?
No. I'm just wondering why you're having a go at me. I was wondering why you're having a go at me. Anyway, I've forgotten what I was doing now.
Wibbly wobbly way.
World Wide Web, marshnetwork.co.uk.
I've got to say this email, and I just love it just because of the names of the people. It says, I'm exhibiting some of my paintings during the artist's open houses in Faversham during the three weekends of October. Alongside my friends, get ready for these names because I love these names. Max Kimber, Joan McCarroll and Griselda Mossett. What a great name
Griselda.
Is that?
Yeah.
Griselda, I love your name, darling. We are open from 11 a.m. till 4 p.m. today. And then on the get ready for these dates, 19th, 20th, 26th, 27th of October. And this is at 92 Abbey Street, Faversham. And visit Kent, East Kent Artist Open Houses. And again, it's at www.ekoh.org.uk/Faversham. Faversham. Yeah. And that's from Natty Benaig.
Yeah.
How are you, Natalie? We haven't seen you
forever. I haven't seen Natty for ages. Bonjour,
ever.
Ça va?
Bonjour.
Griselda and I have had some set-tos on Facebook about things.
I would hope so. With the name of Griselda Mossett, it's just such a powerful name.
She's a fabulous artist.
I love it.
She's a fabulous artist.
Don't you love a name?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's great. That's cool. The full report and video from the University of Kent Business Summit for 2019 is available to read or download at kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS. They're now putting together the programme for the 2020 event that's happening in January. And as soon as that's announced, we will let you know.
Are you emceeing?
I don't know.
Are you doing a round table?
I chaired a round table last year on disability.
Which I was really disappointed that you round table.
Most people are disappointed.
Because I didn't want to go to that one because I spend every week with you. So I was like, I don't want to see him round a round table. I want to talk about the subject. Anyway.
Well, why don't you chair it next year?
I'm quite happy to.
Yeah, you chair it next year and I'll not come because I don't want to spend time with you. How about that?
I suppose that sounds really awful, doesn't it? But I say it, you know, in a nice way.
No, you don't.
I love our shows together.
I bumped into you in the corridor and I went, I'm chairing the Disability and Skills Equality Roundtable. You coming? He went, not with you, no.
You know what I mean? It would just be silly. There would be banter going across the table. Go on.
What you got?
I've got the new Romney Resource Centre at Romney Resource. It's holding a careers fair in Folkestone, sponsored by Jobs in Kent. This is getting worse, isn't it?
Yeah.
Free to attend at Grand Hotel Folkestone. And this is tomorrow, 23rd of October. And the details and exhibitor lists are here at kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Folkestone.
Fantastic. The business secretary has launched a £10 million Brexit readiness fund for business organisations. Andrea Leadsom, for it is her, unveiled a £10 million grant scheme for business organisations and trade associations to support businesses preparing for Brexit ahead of the 31st of October. There's £10 million available to support trade associations and other business support organisations in helping people to prepare. Funds will support businesses across the UK in understanding the steps that they should now take to be ready for the 31st of October. There's events, training and advice that will be open to both members and non-members, ensuring businesses of all sizes can benefit from the information. The Business Readiness Fund is open to organisations and trade associations. If you want to find out more about it, you need to go to
www.gov.uk/Brexit Business Grants. Awesome.
I nearly said breakfast.
I would have laughed so much.
If the government did breakfast grants, I'd be straight in there. I'd be like a rat up a drainpipe with that, I would. Give me a breakfast grant. I want it. I want the full English. Thank you.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Huh?
I don't even know what to say to that.
Do you not?
Not.
We're nearly at the end of the show.
Thank goodness. I can't cope anymore.
Have you got anything else that you need to read?
Yes, I've got loads, but it's just
read one.
A quickie. So this is Help Bridge the Gap Between Schools and Businesses. We know this. It's a Skills 30-30. The programme is this. for businesses. They do a one-hour networking, the Enterprise Advisor Network. Paul Andrews is on skills and employment. For students, there's a one-hour workshop, how to present yourself at work and use LinkedIn to your advantage. This is where the magic happens, where business and students come together for 40 minutes facilitated networking and 10 minutes free networking. You need to go and email alison.palmer@fsb.org.uk, or you can go to jobsinkent.com. That was quick, wasn't it?
It was.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, do come along to that. And listen, we've had 1,200 students through the 30-30 programme so far.
It's brilliant.
But we still have hardly touched the school's environment in Kent and Medway. If you're a teacher, head teacher, principal, school governor or a parent, please convince your school to let us come and offer you a free 30-30 programme. It ticks all your Gatsby needs, so it's a benefit to the school as well, just from that point of view alone.
20th of November is the next one at Dartford.
Longfield Academy, yep. So do come along to that. But that's it for another week. Don't forget to tune into the Business Bunker Extra Show, our sister show, on Friday at 11 a.m, presented by Amanda Flanders. And this week she's joined by Richard Bell, who's a cyber security specialist. So do tune in to the Business Bunker Extra Show here on bizradio.co.uk. But that's it for another week on the Bunker Show. Thank you to our guests, Mark, Eileen and Cheryl, for talking about supported needs and disability confidence in the world of work. Thank you to my co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike. We'll be back next Tuesday with another show. In the meantime, have a fantastic week and we will see you all soon. Bye,
bye
for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.